speaks to you. And I want you to find yourself in these verses, because every person in this building is going to be in one of these verses. And we need to find out where we're at, because according to what the Word of God shows us, it will either bring encouragement to us to stay steadfast where we're at, or it may correct us just a little bit to bring us to a different place or a different level. Amen. And so, yes, we're reading something that had happened 2,000 plus years ago, but it's more powerful to you and I right now than it was then. Because now is now, and it's alive to us. Amen. So I want you to be encouraged, and just let the Spirit of God just teach you some things this morning. He wants to say some things to you that I can't say. Because I can't say everything needs to be said, but the Holy Spirit can. He can make this so personal to you. Say, yes, Lord, you're a personal God, and I'm going to hear from you. Amen? Oh, glory. All right. If you would, then, let's start in verse number 1. Matthew 21, 1. If you're there, say amen. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass, a donkey, tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon the foal of an ass, a donkey, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass, the donkey, and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, most time people would stop right there, but we need to cover the next two verses at least. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it the den of thieves. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Thank you for celebrating this special day with the family of God, because we are the family of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so as we read this text, there's so much meat in this text. And so you pray for me that we'll just bring out what the Holy Spirit would have for us this morning, because there is a great depth here that will just build us and encourage us. But before we get into this, we need to back up now that we've read the text, and we need to go to the 20th chapter, and we need to see some things. See, Jesus is on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem. And see, that's the way you and I are. We're on our way from this earth to heaven. Amen. We've got to go through some things along the way to be able to come into all the promises of God. But Jesus, everything that he's doing in these last days of his ministry is fulfilling the Word of God. And so when you and I, when we start walking with the Lord, you're going to have trials, you're going to have troubles, you're going to have situations, but you have the Word of God to stand on, and that Word will always take you from where you're at to where God has you to be. Amen. The finish point. And so if you'll notice here, let's just look at some things here. It says in verse 29 of chapter 20, it says, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. So you and I, in these verses of scripture that we're reading about, we're looking at disciples, and we're looking at multitudes. We're looking at a great multitude, and we're looking at very great multitudes, and we'll look at that. And all of these consist of different people, and they're at different states in their understanding of who Jesus is. They're under in their obedience to who Jesus has called them to be, and all of these things. But Jesus is making this journey. Now he's going from Jericho up to Jerusalem. And so when you and I get in a place in a situation where we recognize where we're at, Jesus is always going to bring you up. Amen. And so this is a 17-mile journey. Takes him about 8 hours to walk it. Now I want you to think about that. The number 17 in Bible numerics means victory. So from your lowest point in your life, if you'll keep walking with Jesus, he's going to take you to the place of victory. Amen. And it may take a while. You know, but you just keep walking with the Lord. He's not going to leave you. If you don't leave him, if I don't leave him, he's going to take us to that place. And so the devil's going to try to steal, to rob the promise that God has for you. He's going to try to rob your peace. He's going to try to rob your joy, all of those things. But you and I have to hold on to what we have on the inside of us and not let the outside determine how we see things, how we feel about things. Because every one of you have been through a great trial this past week. And the devil has tried to get in on the inside of every one of us. He's brought lies. He's brought all sorts of vain imaginations, trying to divide and conquer. But you're here this morning. Amen. And he didn't win. And he's not going to win. Amen. All right. Now, notice what's so important here. It says in verse 30, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus had passed by, they cried out, saying, 'Have mercy, O Lord, thou son of David.'" So I want you to see here, as Jesus is going from Jericho to Jerusalem, that he runs into these two blind men. So this is symbolic that in your life and my life, before we see Jesus and his passion, we are blind. We may know who Jesus is. We may know to call out on Jesus, but we've got to come into this covenant relationship with him. So all of a sudden, because of all the, can you imagine this crowd that is following with Jesus? And think about it, as they go past this blind man, you got those who are closest to Jesus. They're lifting him up. They're saying, this is who Jesus really is. But then those who get a little farther away, they don't have an intimacy with him. And so they start telling their opinion about Jesus and their view of what he's doing. Now, think about it. You're further and further away from Jesus, but you're still in the multitude. You're still in the crowd. You get another story. So it's so important that you and I, we don't let what's going on out here determine how we feel about Jesus. We don't let that determine what we feel about each other. We've got to be in the center of the things. We've got to know that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. He's inside of me. He wants to be inside of every person, but because he wants to bring truth to us. So you can imagine. But somewhere along the way, these blind men, they heard this covenant talking disciples, and they knew more about Jesus, because look what they said. They said, "Thou son of David." So these are Jewish people, they're Hebrew people, so they're in a place where they make a covenant. They say, "Listen, Jesus, I know who you are, and I've got a right to call you son of David. I'm in this covenant with you, and I believe that you can do something for me." Amen. And so this morning, you're in a covenant with God, and Jesus can do something for you. Amen. And when you address him in his proper form, not with words, but with the attitude of the heart, well, guess what? Jesus is going to move in your life. And we got to set this pattern to help a lost and dying world who is being influenced by people who are on the outside rather than you who are on the inside. Amen. See, the church has lost its influence. Everybody's going to other people. I don't care what CNN says about Jesus. I'm sorry, I don't care. I don't care what all these news stations and all these people are saying about the Bible. I don't care. Your opinion means nothing to me, because you're talking from an atheistic, a hatred, an outside point of view. I'm talking, you're talking, because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. We've been touched by a God that we know is alive and real. You can believe this book is fake if you want to. You can believe anything you want to about this book, but we're going to believe and we're going to teach and preach that this is Jesus. Amen. This is alive. This is not letters on a page. This is a living, breathing entity, the Son of God. Amen. And we're going to honor it. We're going to respect it. We're going to hold it near and dear to our heart. And God's going to say, "Hey, I think they believe me. Because I see their attitude and I'm going to what? I'm going to confirm my word to them. Amen? All right. So anyway, notice that Jesus says unto them in verse 32, what will you that I should do unto you? In verse 33, they say unto him, Lord. So we have this covenant, we have this understanding that our eyes may be open. Now, why is Jesus doing this? Because see, Isaiah 35 is a prophetic picture of what Jesus was going to do. And in Isaiah 35:5, it gives us a promise that Jesus is going to open the eyes of the blind. He's going to unstop the ears of the deaf. So as Jesus is finishing his ministry, he's fulfilling the word of God. He's showing people who he is. Jesus wants to show through you to a lost and dying world, to the multitudes who are on the outside being influenced by everything else. He wants to use you to show them who he is. So, of course, the devil is going to come against you. He's going to challenge you. He's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to try to lie. He's going to try to manipulate. But you're not being influenced by any of that because you have the promise of the Spirit of God inside of you that's going to what? That's going to build you up and encourage you and loose the truth in your life. So, Jesus had compassion on them. He touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Now, notice, they went from just being on the outside, now they're on the inside. Say, I'm on the inside. When you're on the inside of something, that inside puts you in a place where you know what God's wanting to do. You can be in the step, in the time, in the plan, and in the will, in the power of God. Amen? It changes everything. Now, why did we say this? We don't have time to look at it, but you start reading in Luke 19:29 and read down through there, and you can see as Jesus, Luke's account, Jesus gets to Jerusalem and he starts weeping. And he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You know, and he talks about how what he wanted to do for them, but they wouldn't do it because they were blind. Yeah. And he said, because you have not received me and you're blind, you're going to stay blind. But see, here's these two disciples. They didn't want to be blind. And they called on Jesus in that covenant name. And guess what? They got their sight. So you and I today, we've got to be in that place and position. Don't waste your time with people who don't want to know about God. But those who do want to know about God, go. Run to them. Run to them. Use everything you've got and know that God's going to bless what you're putting your hand to. He said that he would bless everything that you and I put our hand to that was in according to his word. Amen. So expect that. Speak it forth. When you start to touch a situation, don't think it's just your hand. Think it's the Lord's hand in your hand. Amen. And like Corey and Justin lead us in worship, his hand is mighty too. Hallelujah. All right. So I want you to imagine this now. So let's look at this in verse number 1 in Matthew 21. And they drew nigh unto Jerusalem. So think about this. They've been walking for at least 8 hours. And this is 3,000 feet. Can you imagine? They're walking up. This is an elevation of 3,000 feet from where they've come from. And so they're tired. You ever get tired? Come on, every one of us in here, we get tired. You get weary and all of these things. But they get there, and what does Jesus say? Okay, you go over and sit down under the tree and rest. This ain't the time to rest. We're going to have rest all of eternity praising God. Can you imagine the peace we're going to have praising God? That true rest and worship. It's going to be amazing. So right now, this is the sun setting on this dispensation of time. And Jesus said that we had to work while the sun was shining because dark was coming when no man. This is our time. This is it. You and I, we can accomplish the will and the plan of God like never before. But we've got to be willing to what? To be not be in the multitudes, not be in the very great multitudes. But we need to be in the center of who God is and what he's wanting to do. And Jesus said, there in verse number 1, so when they come to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. You and I've got to tell the Lord, I'll go. Whatever it is. Now, it may not be physically going. It may be going somewhere in prayer. It may be going somewhere in ministry. It may be going somewhere in the spirit. But then again, it may be going somewhere physically. It doesn't matter. It doesn't, whatever Jesus tells you to do, put your whole hand to it. Put your whole heart to it. And he's going to bless it. Amen. He's a God that will bless it and make it prosper. But he sent two of his disciples saying unto them, verse 2, Go. Go. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes, I just like to be honest with you because I don't ever want to feel like a hypocrite. But, you know, sometimes Jesus tells me to do something, and I think, but Lord, come on, you ever feel that way? You know, we don't always understand His timing, because our timing, if we're not careful, it can get out of step with His. And so I can imagine, put yourself in the place here of the fatigue and what they're feeling. But they didn't question a thing. Jesus said, I want you to go. He said, go into the village over against you and straightway. So here's our trouble. See, I want you to find yourself. I want to find myself this morning. Jesus will tell us to do something. And because you and I, we've been praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And then when He tells us, because it's not in the time that we wanted to hear it, we go, well, now I don't know. Is that from God? So He tells them to go. And so this is what you and I've got to do. When He tells us to do something, we're not going to hear the next thing until we go. I don't know how many people, they'll come to me and they'll say, would you pray for me? Said, God has stopped talking to me. And it's so simple. All you got to say is, listen, let's stop right here and let's ask the Lord to remind you the last thing He said to you. Because when He reminds you the last thing that He said to you, then you're going to find out, I'm going to find out that 99 times out of 100, I haven't done the last thing He said to me. So He's not going to speak nothing else until I obey that, I yield to that, I trust Him in that, and then comes the next word. Because Jesus is not going to waste one word. He said, my word will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish what I sent it thereunto, right? So He's waiting for that word He's done gave me to be accomplished. And when I accomplish that word, then I'm ready for the next word. So here He said, I want you to go. So they go, and notice what He says. He says, when you go, He said, straightway you shall find. So you and I, we got to be in that place, in that position where we're going in obedience, we're going in expectancy, and you know whatever Jesus has said to you, you're going to find it. It's going to be there. He said, you shall find an ass tied in a coat with her. All right. So here's the next part of where we got to locate ourselves. He tells us to do something and we start walking in that. But then all of a sudden, as we start walking in that, we ask ourselves, we start rationalizing things. We start reasoning things in our mind. Now, can you imagine? Here they are. He told them to go to this village. And He said, I want you to go and I want you to get this this mama and this baby, and I want you to loose them. Now, can you imagine if I come up to Larry, if I come up to your house and I'm going to get in your pickup and I'm starting to drive off with it. See, all these things go through our mind. But see, Jesus, He had a word for him. Remember, he said in verse 3, He said, if any man, or the person who owns these, in other words, if they say aught unto you, ye shall say. Aren't you glad that Jesus, He done knows. He done knows what you're going to encounter. If we're living out of His book, He knows exactly what's going to happen, because you and I are living and He's done got our steps ordered. The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. So He's got all of this thing. He's got a plan. He said He had plans for us from the foundation of the world. And so you and I can walk it out. So He said, here's what you do. He said, if any man shall say the Lord hath need of them, straightway He'll send them. But see, all of a sudden you and I, we've got this mindset. Well, they're not going to agree with what's happening. They're not going to believe that God sent me. They're not going to believe that God said this. And that thought comes. See, we're starting to lean into our own understanding. That thought comes, and the next thing you'll do, I'll do, if we're not careful, we'll speak it out of our mouth. And if you ever say that thought, then that thought, it supersedes what Jesus has said. It takes authority over what He says. And now you're in a whole nother realm. You're being controlled and manipulated, not by the Word of God, not by faith, but by fear. So you got to be in the place. I got to be in the place where we say, Lord, this is what I'm thinking. But I know it's the flesh. I know it's the devil. I know it's this world. I know it's all of the. So in the name of Jesus, help me to refocus. Speak that word. Let your voice be stronger than anything else. It is. But you and I need to come to that truth, that understanding. Amen. And we refocus on that. And all of a sudden, then we simply say what God said. God said that they'd give it. How many times you hear somebody that say, "Boy, we need to do this, but I don't know. I don't think they'll do it." No, in Jesus' name, don't say anything. If you can't say what God says, just don't say anything. And then when you get the liberty to say what God says, guess what? Your words are as if God says it, because God puts His words in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, it starts breaking loose. It starts directing some things. Verse 4. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Now, Jesus said, He said, "I come not to change one jot or one tittle of the law. I come to fulfill it." So, in other words, Jesus, He said, "I'm going to make sure that I take care of the old covenant, that I can bring to my children the new covenant, the covenant of grace." So you and I have got to let this build our faith that if God could speak everything under the Old Testament, just think about it. Everything that's happening right here, you can read about it in Isaiah, you can read about it in Micah, and everything that is spoken 700 years before is coming to pass just the way God said it. Yeah. So you can bank on it. God will not fail you. He will not let you down. He will not let me down. Amen. And so we need to be in this place where we say, if God fulfilled all of the Old Testament just for me, that I could be saved, I could be born again, I could be blood washed, I could be named into the Lamb's Book of Life, then He's going to what? He's going to take care of His promises with me, to me, through me today. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He said, "Tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass, and the coat of a foal of an ass." Now, here's where we get in trouble. And this is what causes the problem. You and I, we locate ourselves by the way that we see Jesus coming in our life, in our situation. Now, I want you to imagine all of these people here. Now, they have a knowledge of the Bible. They have a knowledge of what's been prophesied in the Old Testament. They have a knowledge. And so when they see Jesus coming at the first advent, they're expecting and believing to receive Him in the way that He's going to come in the second advent. They're looking at this, and all they're thinking about is Rome, 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 Rome. See, if we're not careful, we do the same thing. God, put my marriage back together. God, save my child. God, give me a better job. All of those things are well and fine. But we concentrate on one thing that we're looking for rather than the one thing that God has for us that'll take care of everything else. See, they're thinking, all we need is to be delivered from Rome. No, because God delivered you time and time and time again, and you went back just as a dog does to the vomit, just as a pig back to the mire. No, you need something that will cause you to be born again. You need something that will put the Spirit of the living God in you that will make you free. Amen? That's what the whole world needs to hear. Now, they're going to come to us with their problems, and that's okay. But we've got to get them off the problem and onto the Savior. We've got to get them and help them to realize where they really need help, where they really need the answer. Amen? "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek." Meek. In other words, they're expecting Jesus to come like He's going to come in Revelation 19 on that white steed in power and glory and all of this. But Jesus had to come as he had to come as a lamb before He can come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, before He can come as the Lord of Lords. And so He's coming. So this morning, you and I need to get it in our heart that we've got to accept Jesus as the Lamb in fullness before we can accept Him as that one who's going to do everything else. Salvation is first. But then salvation qualifies you and I, qualifies those that we're trying to reach to all of these other promises. Amen? Okay. He said, Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. So think about it. Jesus makes this statement in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, down about verse 5 or something like that, somewhere in there. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the... See, Jesus just won the earth for us. Jesus took it back from the devil and then gave it to us. We're a joint heir with Jesus. So we've got to go like Jesus went. We've got to act like Jesus acted. We've got to talk like Jesus talked. On this Palm Sunday, we need to find ourselves in this place, in this position, and we need to let the Word of God have its first and final say in our life. Verse 6, notice this. Here's back to the disciples. And the disciples went. Jesus, he gave them all of this direction. And so they went and did as Jesus commanded them. So that's what you and I need to do. We need to just find out what the will of the Lord is moment by moment and just simply trust Him. Just, that's what Donna tells me this over and over. Just trust the Lord. And so you and I, we put a trust in a lot of things. Every one of us, we come in and we sit down in these chairs. We didn't sit down easy. They got metal frames. They're not going anywhere. But we trusted in that chair to hold us up. How much more is the hand of the living God going to hold you and I up? If we can trust in a chair that was man-made, how much more can we trust in a Jesus Christ who is not man-made, but He is God Himself? Amen? All right. Verse 8. And very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Now think about this. We've been talking about multitudes. Great multitudes, now very great multitudes, spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from trees and strawed them in the way. So can you imagine when you and I give things to the Lord, all of a sudden it becomes sanctified because He's the sanctifier. So everything that we give. And so here's even the very great multitudes. They're on the outside, but they're getting so excited about the anointing and the presence and the truth and what they're doing. They're taking what is fixing to be done here and they're projecting it on what's going to be done at the crucifixion. See, so many, everybody wants the goodness of God and the grace of God, but we don't want to talk about the crucifixion. We don't want to talk about the cross. But there's a cross for Jesus, but there's a cross for us. And to be able to come to this place where we locate ourselves and we move forward in the Lord, we've got to pick up our own cross. And we've got to, as we pick up our cross, in the natural, it's the instrument of death, but in reality, it's the instrument of life. It's the power, amen? It's the victory. But notice what it said. It said that they put their garments down, they cut down branches from trees. Now, you and I, we know these are palm trees, because Revelation 7:9 gives us a prophetic picture. You and I, we're going to be holding up those palm branches. We're going to be worshiping the Lord. It's a sign of victory. It's a sign that Jesus has gave us the victory in the eternity. But here, what are they doing? They're not intimate with Jesus. These are not the disciples. It's not even the multitude. It's not even the great multitude. Remember what it said. It's the very great multitude. It's those who are on the very outside. And so, even the world can worship Jesus when they think they're going to get what they want. So they cut down the palm branches. They lay down their clothes and all these. They're waving these palm branches and all of this stuff because they're seeing Jesus as the one that's going to give them victory over Rome. This is the same group of people that in a week later is going to be saying, crucify Him, crucify Him. You can't depend upon people. You can depend upon your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you can depend upon Jesus first and foremost. That's it. But your confidence is not in people. It's not in man. Psalms 118:18, you don't put your confidence in man. You put your confidence in the... And you'll never fall. You'll never fail. Amen. Verse 9, and the multitudes that went before Him and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord in the highest. Oh, praise God, praise God. He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to put my marriage back together. He's going to save my kids. He's going to give me a better job. I didn't get what I asked for. Crucify. No, you and I, we're going to get to know the Lord. We're going to let His will become our will. I don't know about you, but I every time I pray about each one of you and about myself, we're in a moment of decision. We're in the valley of decision. We're in this point right now where the devil is putting as much pressure as he can, and here's the grace of God. And if you and I stay in our place and not let the devil move us from our place, God has the blessings and the plan and the provision that's going to shake this community.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. But you cannot be moved. I cannot be moved. Don't even talk about what the enemy's saying. I've been having to go and I go, I want to say something, Donna, so bad, but I can't say it. Help me. Jesus, help me. Because see, I didn't realize. Okay, let me give you an example. So we understand what we're talking about. Here's all of this commotion, all this stuff, and they're saying to Jesus, you know, save us now. So you know, in situations you pray about something, okay? Well, we're coming to church Wednesday night, and the truck quits, you know, and there we are in the middle of the road, and I got people coming out of the house looking, because I'm here trying to get this thing going. I got people playing ball over here on the other side and all this stuff, and I you know me, I don't like this part, and I don't like that part. I like to be hid in the crowd, and so all this is going on, and my flesh is getting upset, I say, Lord, help me get this truck out of this road, you know. He didn't do it the way I wanted him to do it. How did I want him to do it? I wanted him to be able to show me how to get the thing started and get it out of there. But no, he didn't do it that way. So, all of a sudden, here you and I are, we're in a place and a situation. Do I trust God or do I not? Do I let him be Lord or not? Amen? So all of a sudden, you got to figure out that there's more in play than what you and I understand. There's more in play. That God is doing things that you and I don't even know. He wants you to make connections with people that you wouldn't normally or otherwise make connections with. He wants you to be around people that you wouldn't be around. So he organized what the devil meant for harm. He didn't do it, but he used it. And he timed some things out then where I come in contact with people where otherwise, no, I wouldn't have. So what we've got to do, we've got to just believe that God will do what he said he would do. He will bless you. He'll take care of you. It just may not be comfortable in your way. But see, I was telling Donna, and she said, shut up. And I said, if he don't start this truck, so you're going to be pressured. You're going to go through trials and testings, not because God didn't, you know, it says Abraham tested, God tested Abraham in Genesis 22. That's not right. No, God doesn't, or it says God tempted Abraham. God didn't tempt anybody. I'm the one that falls to temptation. Abraham's the one that could fall. No, God does let us go through trials and tests and all those things, not because he doesn't love us, because he wants to help us. Every time you go through a test, you trust Jesus more. And all of these things. But you've got to learn. I've got to learn. You can't say anything. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, that person don't like me? What have you just done? Jesus, yes, Jesus said that you and I, that we love the brethren, that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. And if we get to thinking about likes and dislikes rather than love of God, then all of a sudden, what are we doing? We're taking that word and we're putting it above God's word. See, I spent 7 years trying to get a relationship back and I couldn't get it back. I was destroying it and I didn't even understand it. I would say, this person will never talk to me. They never talk to me. You have the ability to influence things. You're living in the law. Everything that happens, see, we blame God or we blame the devil. But most of the problem is right here with me. Because there's laws that you set in motion. There's laws that I set in motion that cannot be changed. I heard a minister say one time, let me just throw this in. This man, he's 35 years old, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, serving God. All of a sudden, he has some kind of medical issue. Doctors don't know what it is. He passes out. They're in the hospital. They're trying to get him better. They bring the whole church together. The whole church is praying, and they brought prayer cloths. They prayed the prayer of faith. They've done everything they need to do, and nothing is changing. And so finally, there was an evangelist who had come to that church, and he come there, and the Spirit of God gave him a vision, and he saw this man from the time he was 15 years old. Over and over, different times in his life, I'll never make it to age whatever it was. I think he was 39. I'll never make it to 40. And he said it over and over and over, and he died at 39. We set laws in motion. They couldn't pray it. They couldn't change it because the Holy Ghost told that evangelist. He said, "Listen," said, "you can't undo what has been set in motion." Oh, now he's going to heaven. But praise God for that. But he's not going to have God's best, because his God's best was that he finished the work that he started. Amen. You and I, we can stop God's work if we're not careful. Here's what's happening with this multitude. All right. Verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, can you imagine? Can you see Jesus riding in? Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus, if you look at Mark 11, Jesus, he rides in on this colt. And I want you to imagine that the mama's right beside the colt, and they've got the disciples' clothes over them. But Jesus is riding on the colt. He's riding on the New Testament, but he's showing that he's covered the Old Testament. Because the mama represents the Old Testament. So he's fulfilled everything in the Old Testament. He's riding in on the New Testament. And as he comes into Jerusalem, can you imagine the excitement? Come on, there's excitement in your life today, in my life, because of grace. All things are new. All things are possible now because of you and I. We can be born again and we can be children of God. But he's riding in, and this anticipation is here. And it says, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, notice this, all the city was moved. Now, this is the word for earthquake. So we're not talking, there's things happening. See, when you and I get in the will and the plan of God, there is a spiritual breakup of what the devil's had a stronghold. The devil has had a stronghold in different areas in this community. But you and I, we're going to follow the will of God, and we're going to see those strongholds be moved. We're going to see them quake. They're going to tremble. They're going to bow down to Jesus. Amen. We're going to see the deception and the stronghold of lies and all of these things fall out of people's lives, because Jesus is the one that can do it. And they look at this. The remember who's talking. We got the very great multitude who put out the garments and the branches. And then we got the multitudes saying, "Hosanna, save us now, save us now. Save me the way I want to be saved." But then in verse 10, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Now here's the city. Where are you at? Where am I at? Who is this? That's what the world is asking the church today. Who is this Jesus that you're talking about? Where is he at? What can he really do? Because see, for the first time, they felt something. Come on, there was an earthquake. There was a moving there. There was a breaking of the powers of the enemy. And they asked that question. Verse 11, and the multitude said, not the disciples, but the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now see, immediately, they make this confession. They talk out of their head what they know rather than out of the heart what the anointing is trying to release. Yes, Jesus is from Nazareth. Yes, Jesus is a prophet. But he's not just a prophet. And he's not just from Galilee. He's sent from heaven. Come on, born of a Virgin Mary of the Holy Ghost. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. He is the Deliverer. He is the Healer. He is the all in all. Amen. But here's what they said, and that's their testimony. And their testimony went out to this group of people. And so, because what the people was going to have was what they said, then what they sowed was what they was going to reap. Come on now. Oh, Jesus blesses them, but he never blesses me. Jesus heals them, but he never heals me. Where are we at? Come on, where are we at in this group of scriptures? Where are we at? We got to find ourselves, and we got to put Jesus at the first and the foremost, the top of our heart, the top of our lives. And we've got to let the Word of God come into us and get us a mindset of what God is wanting us to do. We want the passion of Jesus to become the passion of us. Amen? Notice what happens. And Jesus, verse 12, went into the temple, and he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. You and I, we preached on this. We talked about this. We've got to be in the place and the position where we let Jesus overthrow everything. See, when Jesus come into that place, he showed them who he was. He took authority over them. You and I, we need to let Jesus have authority. Your temple, whatever is in your life that is contrary to Jesus being who he said he was, who the Bible says he is, who the Holy Spirit's trying to teach you and I who he is, we need to what? We need to let it be overturned. Let Jesus have the first and the final say in our life. Let that passion, that zeal that we preached about last week, let it burn in your life. I need to let it burn in my life where we'll be in this place, in this position, where we're completely committed. Tell the Lord, say, Lord, I don't want to be a part of the city. I don't want to be a part of the multitude. I don't want to be a part of the great multitude. I sure don't want to be a part of the very great multitude. I want to be a disciple. Today, I dare to be a disciple. A disciple is just a pupil. In other words, you're telling Jesus, I want to sit at your feet, and I want your Holy Spirit to teach me this word. I want to expect out of this Bible. I want to live out of this Bible. I want it to tell me where I can go, when I can go, how I can do it. I don't want the limitations of man. I want the expectations of God. Amen. I've used this before, but it has come to me, so I'll use it again. See, the one thing that you and I hold on to that we make a bargain with, that's the one thing that may not seem so important, but it's the one thing that'll cause us to lose everything. Remember the story I told you about the man in Haiti? He had this nice home for that area of that nation, that country. And he kept being in the place where this man kept coming and wanting to buy the house from him. And he just kept on and on and on and on. And he finally got tired. And he said, okay, I'll sell you this property. Everything, but I want to keep one thing. And the guy said, I don't care what you keep. Said I want to purchase it. Said, I'll buy it. And so they made a deal. And he said, and he took his hammer. And he took a 16-penny nail and he drove it in the middle of the front door. He said, I've sold you everything, but this spot on this door, this spot is mine. And the guy said, whatever, I don't care. I want this house. I want this property. He said, okay. Well, time went by and the guy had spent all of his time doing whatever he wanted to do, and he decided he wanted to come back to his property. And he said, listen, I'm going to buy this piece of property back. And that guy said, no, you can't have it. And he said, yeah, I want to buy it. And he said, well, I'm not going to sell it to you. So after the gentleman seen that the other guy wasn't going to sell it to him, what did he do? He went and he found a dead animal. And he hung, actually it was a dog, and he hung that dog on the collar on that nail of that front door. Can you imagine? Very disrespectful. to the man, to the dog, especially the whole situation. But the house become unlivable. See, everything that we don't sell out to the Lord, the Bible says that you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. But the one thing that we want to hold on to that we think, well, it don't really matter, that's the one place for the devil to have an open door. And we'll end up losing everything. See, on this week, as you and I are looking forward to Resurrection Day, as we're looking forward to the fulfillment of the plan and the will of God, we need to be in the place and the position where we say, Lord, I want to make sure that I give you everything. Amen. You'll never fail. You'll grow. You'll get stronger. You'll get bigger and bigger in the will and the plan of God because you're really getting littler to self. See, the littler we get to self, the bigger we get to God. The more that we can really do for God. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. Amen. If I could lay hands on each one of you and just let the vision of that God has for you pour into your spirit. God's got such a big vision for you and what He wants to do in and through you in this community, in and through your family. It's almost unbelievable that God thinks these thoughts toward us. See, the Bible says that God, He said, I know the thoughts. And you say, well, Greg, that's Old Testament. He's talking about the Jews. Guess what? You and I were spiritual Israel. I know the thoughts that I think about you, and they are what kind of thoughts? Good thoughts. He said, I have an expected end for you. In other words, God, see, the devil wants to tell you, oh, God's thinking bad about you because you didn't do just exactly right. Guess what? You're not going to do just exactly right. But you're getting better and better. You're getting sanctified more and more because you're letting the Word of God, you're being washed by the water of the Word. But He has an expected end for you. So instead of letting the devil show you this is how this is going to turn it out, you say, no, in Jesus' name, Lord, show me how you want this to turn out. You be like the disciples. You hear the Word, you go, and you do, and it'll work. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this wonderful group of people. I thank you for this Palm Sunday. I thank you for the passion that you had for the will of God, the way of God, the work of God. But more importantly, I asked you that you put that revelation of passion because it was about us. It was the love that the Father had for us. And He demonstrated that love, Lord, through you in that you died for us while we were yet sinners. So let that passion, let it be stirred in our lives. And let us come into that place where we're disciplined in you and your will. We trust you. We yield to you. We walk and we let your work just come naturally. Lord, I thank you for every person that's here. I ask that you just let the love be received. Let them know how important they are and how much they're needed within this body of Christ. And let them just be in the place where every lie that has been spoken this past battle, that it be revealed and it be swallowed up in the Savior. We thank you for it. Lord, help us this morning. Help us just to yield and be committed, fully sold out to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, I thank you so much that you have passion toward me. And I ask that you help me to receive that same passion towards you. Would you be in that place where you say, Lord, I'm willing. If you'll speak and if you'll bring revelation, I won't settle for second best. I won't settle for what I think I want or what I think I see in the natural. But I'm going to let you speak a word into my life that'll bring your will, your plan from heaven into my life. Would you do that this morning?